This episode is presented by State Farm. Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing the protection of an offensive guard on the football field, but getting an elementary school crossing guard. Sure, they're both guards, but you can only trust one to keep your quarterback safe when the game is on the line. So don't settle for just any insurance when there's State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This episode is brought to you by McAfee.
Finish your fantasy lineup?
No, but I'm joining this paid group chat with insider info.
Dude, seriously? Forward it to me? Oh, security alert from McAfee. That group's as legit as that knockoff jersey you're wearing.
McAfee's scam detector is available in all McAfee plans for as little as $39.99 for your first year. Learn more at McAfee.com/online protection.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
The quarterback threw a backward pass, which was recovered in the end zone.
From The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I've never quite seen anything like what happened on the two-point conversion.
The refs are the worst.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, Texans head coach DeMeco Ryans. Coming up, Seahawks head coach Mike McDonald. And now, Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We just had a great 2 hours on linear cable. Does it feel different doing the show on linear cable to you rather than streaming on Disney Plus?
Yeah, I definitely feel something a little bit different.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of miss linear cable.
Yeah.
At any rate, I shouldn't say that. We love being on Disney Plus and the ESPN.
No doubt about that.
Hello, ESPN Radio audience. You're still with us, presented by Progressive Insurance. We also love being on the SiriusXM Channel 80 feed as well. If you missed the first 2 hours, DeMeco Ryans, the head coach of the Houston Texans, joined us, as well as Tom Pelissero. And we were chopping up, if you will, the game of the year, without
game
a doubt.
Game of the year, huh?
Thursday Night Football, game of the year.
That was better than week one? Bills-Ravens?
Yeah, 100%.
Really?
I mean, of course. Get out of here. What's at stake? Week 16? First ever Thursday night game with two teams of 11 wins or more. The division's on the line. The NFC one seed's on the line. It was incredible.
Interesting.
It had everything to it. And the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks is joining us right now here the day after, as I believe, the game of the year. He's Mike McDonald right here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, coach? How you doing?
Hey, great. Good to be with you, man.
I never asked.
I kind of feel like a noob here on the Zoom. This is a first for me.
What do you mean? You don't do Zooms or what? What do you mean?
No, I do Zooms, but it's probably not very good at them.
Listen,
good to talk to you.
You know what? I just for a second, here's what we're going to do. Just turn the evaluation thing off for a second. I know that's your default. Coaches are just evaluate your breakdown. Hey, man, you don't have to play a game for another week. You know what I mean?
I'm breaking down every second of this, Rich. I can't turn it off.
I never ask this of a coach, but I'll ask it. What time did you go to sleep last night?
Well, it wasn't like a steady sleep, you know. I had quite a few people at the game, so we got to hang out around the locker room after, and everybody got to see everything, which is cool. But you know, you fall asleep, you wake up, you're excited because you won. Was it real? Okay, it was real. Oh, but then I went back to sleep, and we gave up these plays, and maybe that was a bad play call, and so that it's kind of like it's a hot and cold all night, but. Not the best sleep of all time, but we'll take it every time.
So you wake up again, just like everyone else, you're a human being. I mean, just the day before washes over you, like, oh yeah, that happened. We won that game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That probably happened at least a half dozen times last night. And then you also think about some of the ones you want back too, which is inevitable.
Sure. And obviously there's still time to work on that with two more games to go. And we'll get to that in a second, but I'm not ready to turn the page from last night. Not by a long shot. So what do you tell your team in the locker room of a game that you're down in, but not too far out. It did feel to me, again, watching the game at home, that you were down more than just by six based on what happened in that first half. What'd you tell your team in that locker room, Mike?
Well, defensively, I think we needed a little shot of confidence that we could make a couple adjustments and be on the right track and just make sure we're all on the same page going to the second half. And I think the guys were great. You know, they knew what we needed to do. And then, you know, Jay Reed was awesome. He's been great, just sending the message to the guys, you know, before games and at halftime, and really gets guys ready to go. And it was really that simple. But, you know, it was going to be a big drive with our offense coming in, and that was a lot of focus going into that drive to really come back and put the game within reach. After everything that went happen, to be only down six, we felt like we were in a good position, and, you know, go down and score a touchdown was huge for us.
Yeah, and I'm sure, you know, Kenneth Walker, he had a big play for you in your first drive of each half, and that had to breathe some life into the team. And just how do you handle situations of adversity yourself in front of your team when, you know, turnovers begin to start coming in bunches, certainly for your quarterback who has had games like this against this franchise, Coach? How do you handle it?
Well, I think part of our growth as a football team, and probably me included, is just how do we reload from like a play-to-play basis, you know? And I think early in the year and sometimes last year, we let some of the results, when it didn't go our way, affect us, or even maybe if we were in a lead, that affected our play. And it's been a pretty big focus on, hey, let's just go to the next play. Let's just keep reloading, keep attacking it. You know, defensively, we talk about death zone football, like coming alive when, you know, the times are tough and some of those tough situations, and our guys, they've really bought into it, you know, and I think it's galvanizing. It's almost like when things don't go our way, we sometimes do play our best football, which has been a lot of growth, and it just makes it such a fun group to coach no matter the circumstance.
Well, I mean, again, how much do you listen, I'm a control freak just hosting this show, which means I'm probably like a tenth of the control freak that you are as a head coach in the National Football League. Do you go to your OC, Clint Kubiak, and say, are we getting the ball to 11 tonight or what? Like, do you do stuff like that, or you just delegate and you stay out of it?
Yeah, I mean, that's not really my our style and how we want to do it. I mean, we have a plan going into the game offensively. We felt like, you know, we're kind of just moving and shaking within the plan to kind of deviate. Of course, we're trying to get the ball to Jax. But, you know, I think there's opportunities to get the ball to other guys too. You know, K-9 coming to life in the pass game, you know, getting the ball to AJ early was really helpful for us. And then, you know, just like I said last night, it's, you know, it turns out Jax is a great way to move the ball, you know?
Yes.
And so we want to give him the ball as much as we can, but you can't force it either, you know? So,
right.
There is a balance there, and I felt like we called a good game. We stayed attacking. We took care of the ball for the most part until some of those throws, and then obviously, you know, credit to Jax where he just keeps playing and running the routes and blocking. I thought he blocked great last night, and then eventually the ball finds energy in those critical moments. You know, all of a sudden he's got the ball on his hand with a chance to go win it.
Well, and let's linger on Sam for a little bit here before I start getting into the specific plays of last night's game. Is because you're saying that your emphasis is about, you know, taking it a play at a time and flushing the negatives and just keep matriculating and things of that nature. How does Sam Darnold personify that in your estimation?
Well, I think you nailed it. I think he's kind of the tip of the spear when it comes to that mentality. It's funny, you know, you can't help but notice some of the narratives that, you know, go around with your players, especially Sam. But my message to everybody has just been like, look, this is the guy that we know that we've had in our building from day one, and how he's handled his business and how he practices on a daily basis is that guy. You know, he's really the same guy every day, ultimate competitor. He's got like a, you know, he's got some nastiness to him, you know, he's got some swag to him, and, he's got confidence, and I think the play that resonates with our players, and the way he treats people and how he leads is constant, you know? And so you can't help but respect his mentality, and you can't help but root for him, you know? So I'm really happy to see like the fruits of his labor come to life late in the game and come through the, like we knew he could.
You are aware of the narratives though. You are, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you try to, you know, you're not spending time figuring it out, but kind of it happens through osmosis.
What do you mean by nastiness? Give me an example.
He's got a killer instinct to him. You know, he just take no prisoners. And in those moments, I mean, you could, even when we decided to go for two, you're kind of looking at his body language and seeing how the guys feel about it. And there was, it's kind of like a, it felt like he was like a closer in baseball with that mentality, like taking the mound, just, hey, give me the ball. Let's go close this thing out. That's maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I was reading in the moment. And, that was part of the reason we went for it.
Mike McDonald here of the Seattle Seahawks, the head coach of the team currently, the one seed in the NFC and controls its own so-called destiny in that regard here on the Rich Eisen Show. If I had told you when Kobe Turner picked off Sam right on the goal line, don't worry, you got the Rams right where you want them. what would you have said? Because you did, as it turned out, from there.
Well, it was, I mean, that's a tough situation, you know, like you have some hope and you're saying, okay, if we score here, it's an X amount of point game and how we would handle it the next series. And all of a sudden, you know, your kind of life changes before your eyes and the circumstances are completely different. But, you know, to your point in your question earlier, you know, it's my job to make us, put us in the best position possible given the situation. So that's where my mind goes. Okay, well, shoot, that sucks, but... You know, let's go to the only thing we can do now is try to get a stop and get the ball back and make this a one possession game. So that was the mentality. You know, you're not exactly happy about it, but you know, the game's a long way from over. You just hopefully everyone shared the same mentality. Let's just keep fighting and see what happens. And
then Rashid Shaheed uncorks that one after for 58 yards and a punt return after your defense has the Rams go three and out from that interception. What were you? I'm really going to hit the Wayback Machine here to the trade deadline. John Schneider says we got a chance in him. Were you involved in that conversation? Because, boy, what a massive, massive help he has been to your team since coming from the Saints, Coach.
He has. Yeah, he has been. And, you know, it was a cool process, the trade deadline. You know, this is only the second time that I've been through with John and really, as a, you know, just kind of being a part of it as a head coach. So, but, you know, Rashid was part of kind of in our sights for a while. We knew that he'd be a great fit for us. And really, you know, John pushed the envelope with it. And of course, we were on board from day one. And obviously, Clint's his experience with Rashid last year, Clint really, you know, he thought he was a great player and really liked him as a person, felt like he was going to be a great fit with our team. So he kind of put all those things together. And shoot, I was praying that we were going to be able to pull it off. And as it became, you know, it came to fruition, and we're obviously, you know, we're fired up because we felt like it could be a game changer for us, and it turned out it was.
Yeah, I mean, the 58-yard punt return leading to the least talked about two-point conversion you had last night successfully, and then a three and out followed by the end around from Shaheed that led to the Barner touchdown, and then the two-pointer everybody's talking about. At what point last night did you know, oh, wait a minute, that two-pointer that didn't work out might actually go our way? Walk me through that moment for you.
Well, you know, we were lining up to kick the kickoff, and it was going longer than usual. So you realize that something was up, and then the officials let us know that they were looking at it. And, you know, in my mind, at that point, it's a 2-point game. We get a stop, a field goal wins the game. I mean, if we didn't get it, the game's going to play out. Like, both sides are going to play a different style of play, you know, going through. So it did change the dynamics of the game by getting it, but once you realize that they were looking at it and then the replays were going on the sideline, you realize that the ball was going backwards and we had a clear recovery, became pretty evident that we were going to end up with the 2 points and it was going to be a tie ball game. So, it was a wild sequence. You know, I don't think it was probably an unprecedented thing that's happened before, but, you know, it is what it is. Ball was going backwards and New York made it right. So that was cool.
Okay. So you thought, okay, we're just down two, and then somebody taps you on the shoulder or an official comes up and says to you, we're looking at it.
Look, it's a little hazy. I wish I knew exactly what happened. But, yeah, to my knowledge, the officials came over and told us. Yep. And then Brian Ayers runs game management for us. He's talking in one ear. I'm talking, you know, there's a lot going on. But once you realize what's going on, it became really clear that we probably end up with the 2 points.
And it's a coaching emphasis of yours to pick up any loose ball, right, Coach? Right?
Every time. Yeah, I mean, on defense, that's standard rules. And
yeah, but Charbonnet's on offense, though. He's on offense.
Let me introduce you a guy named Zach Charbonnet. This guy is an absolute stud. and just he gets it, and he just all those little details he does right all the time. That's him, and so I'm not surprised one bit that he.
Well,
didn't.
You know, I'm a Michigan man, so I know who he is or where he where he used to go before he went to UCLA before you got your hands on him. You know, and that was just a massive moment, obviously. And now overtime. Let's just flash forward. At what point did you think I'm going for two?
Well, again, to bring up Brian Harris, this is something that he brought up a few days ago, knowing that, hey, this game, you know, with the implications of the playoffs on the line, possible division lead, you know, first seed, you know, implications, might have to be a decision that we're going to have to make late in game. Do we play for the tie or do you go for the win? So, you know, we were marinating on that for a while, and going into that last drive, it became, okay, hey, look, you know, it's funny how these things come to life after you bring them up, but it became just pretty clear. Like, look, I think we got a pretty cool play call, and let's go for this win. Let's go for it, and let's go win this thing, and go out with this thing with a bang. So that's what we did.
Right, but other than the analytics, maybe, and the gut feel that a head coach needs, was part of this decision thinking at any point, hey, a tie does not give us the tie break over the Rams in any playoff tiebreaker? You know,
yes, yeah,
it does. You are thinking that at that point in time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, like if we kick the, you know, you kick the PAT, you play it out, the Rams have 3 minutes to go and a sudden death, more than ample opportunity to get on the field. It's going to be hard for us to get the ball back and go back down and score. So it just felt like there was a lot of downside by giving them the ball back. And then, you know, if you feel like you can tilt the scales a little bit in your favor on the 2-point play, then now you're looking a little bit over like a 50-50 proposition. Feels like that's the best decision to make.
And do you, I'm just going to go, you know, outside the lane here a little bit in my few minutes I have left with you here, Coach. Would you want to expand overtime in regular season for an extra 5 minutes where the 10-minute, you know what I mean? Like at this point in time, you know, 10 minutes might not be enough. I mean, this is a massive game and it damn near came down to a tie here. Would you want an extra 5 minutes if you could tell the competition committee that? Coach?
Well, it's funny. I'm kind of like a tell me the rules and let me try to play by them better than anybody else type of guy. So I think it's good. I like the change that we made by making it like the playoff model. I like the fact that teams get both chances. I like the fact that like it really it's almost like a toss up now on what's who gets the advantage based off of who wins the coin flip. I think it's more of a fair model than it has been. So you get into like more play. I mean, we ended up playing 88 plays on defense. You end up with a couple of those throughout the course of a season. You really start to add up some plays as well. So that's really the first thing that goes to my mind is I kind of like the way we have it and protects the players, I think, in the long run.
Yeah, I hear you. And then, you know, you did win the toss. So you liked going second because you know exactly what you need. And obviously we saw what happened, right? Was that your philosophy on that?
That's the main course. I mean, if you go the other way, it's about okay. Well, you know, it's a flip argument, right? It's just we just prefer to have the ball and knowing what we need to do. But there's also a case we made the other way as well, and there could be a circumstance where we decide to do that. But that's the way we kind of looked at it throughout the offseason and felt like what fits our team the best.
All right, before I let you go, simple question: now what? Now what? You know, now what?
So we talk about reloading from play to play. That's what we need to do this weekend. I think one of the first things we need to do is get some rest and get our coaches out of the dang office.
Okay.
So,
All right.
That's number one. Yeah, it's a good opportunity for us to kind of zoom out a little bit schematically and with our personnel and really refocus on what we want to do going into this last couple games and make it clear for our players and then come back fresh next week put a great week together so we're good and get ready for Carolina.
Yeah, I was about to say, so I guess Sunday you're watching Bucks versus Carolina to scout, you know, a team that not to tell you how to do your job, but I'm sure you're going to do it anyway. You know, all you got to say, hey, the Rams lost there. The Rams helped us out. Let's not let, you know, them help the Rams out, right? I mean, like, that's a way to kind of get ready for Carolina while watching them play the Bucks. They need it, too, just as much as you, right? I mean,
well, look, we respect the heck out of them. They've won some big games this year. Right. And honestly, Rich, like, I think part of the reason we're in the position we're in right now is we really haven't made it about who we're playing and the circumstance. Right. And hey, we got to get up for this game, but maybe we don't have to get up for that game. It's like, no, it's just our mentality here is every time we take the field is we are chasing that version of the team we want to be all the time. And we've made some mistakes this year by having it make it more about our opponents. And that's something that I've learned as a head coach of really doubling down on that philosophy. And I think that's resonated with our team. And that'll be our approach this week. And, you know, as we go into the playoffs.
And then you, like the rest of the country, will watch the Niners, who is your final opponent, take on Phillip Rivers. How about that? If I had told you, right? If I had told you, what would be crazier? That you would be going for two in the greatest comeback in the history of the Seattle Seahawks in the fourth quarter on a Thursday night football game, and Eric Saubert would catch it, right, in overtime, right? Like, that would be it. And I don't know if you're aware, this is the first ever successful two-point conversion in the history of NFL overtime. That's never happened. You got it. That's on one side. Or you'll be watching Monday Night Football, rooting for Phillip Rivers to help your team out. What do you think? What's crazy?
That's a pretty crazy proposition. But that's the NFL for you. That's why we love it so much, right? That's just what makes it so special. But
right,
we'll be big Phillip Rivers fans. You know, I've always been a Phillip Rivers fan up until this past week, but I'm back on the Rivers wagon moving forward.
That's crazy. Phillip Rivers coming in your house, and then he's on Monday Night Football to help your team after.
That's great. He's talking back like the old days, you know. Talking crap to us after a touchdown throw. It's not a good feeling to be at, but respect it.
He talked crap to you? He did?
You could feel he tried to stick the dagger at us on that touchdown pass.
Oh, my gosh. That is so great. Hey, listen, I appreciate the 20 minutes you've given me. I'm sure you're still, you know, soaking in last night, but you're already trying to turn the page and get some rest. So I it's great to see you. The last time I saw you was at the Combine. So here you are on the show. I greatly appreciate that, as you know. So thanks.
You got it, Rich.
Thanks,
yeah,
man.
Thanks for the opportunity. Thanks, man.
Oh, you got right. You got it. There's Mike McDonald, awesome. Fresh Press off coach. Of the win of the year.
Yeah, buddy.
Game of the year. Yeah. Win of the year. I mean, I could have gone on with the play-by-play for about 10 more minutes.
It was so much fun last night.
Dude.
It was just one thing after another.
Yeah. It was one battle after another.
A four-hour game that didn't feel like it.
And I just was sitting there the entire time after Puka runs one in. I'm like, they scored. They got to go for two here.
Yeah.
I didn't know the exact 88 defensive snaps. Last thing they're going to do is, like, let's kick the extra point and put 88 defensive snaps on the
minutes
field against Stafford and Puka?
No.
No. And again, a head coach is sitting there thinking a tie does us no good. We would lose any tie break to the Rams. They'd still be the 5 seed right now in a tie. Instead, they're the 1 seed rooting for Philly Riv after beating him.
Man.
844-204-RICH, number to dial, phone calls galore, and setting up the rest of the weekend. College football tonight on the Family of Networks.
Experience a membership that backs your business journey with American Express Business Platinum. When you pay with membership rewards points for all or part of an eligible flight booked with a qualifying airline through Amex Travel, you can get 35% of those points back, up to 1 million points back per calendar year. American Express Business Platinum. There's nothing like it. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/business-platinum.
Meet the computer you can talk to. With Copilot on Windows, working, creating, and collaborating is as easy as talking. Got writer's block? Share your screen with Copilot Vision to help spark inspiration and use Copilot Voice to have a conversation and brainstorm ideas. Or maybe you need some tech help. With Copilot Vision, Copilot sees what you see. Let Copilot talk you through step-by-step guidance so you can master new apps, games, and skills faster. Try now at windows.com/copilot.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Back here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Is he coming back this Super Bowl?
O's the Mentalist. If he is in Santa Clara, we are going to have him.
I feel sick.
We will have him every time. So there's that. That was great with Mike McDonald right there, huh?
Yeah, I like him.
He's awesome.
Dude, he knows how to coach.
Sure does.
And they're now 9-8 under him at home. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
They're 13-2 on the road. Their last tour on the road. Which is why you got to sit here and think the Seattle Seahawks are going to win this division and conference. But if they win in Carolina and San Francisco wins its next two, Monday night against Philly Riv in Indianapolis, and then the following Sunday night at home against the Bears, then week 18 is for the division and maybe the conference. Which is why that could be the final game of the weekend and of the season. You're taking a look at right now. Screw it. Let's do this. I always love doing this.
I'm into that.
The last game of the regular season. It's always flexed, right? You pointed out the Patriots at the Ravens is the first flex game of the year, which, by the way, I don't know the last time that was nothing got flexed
nothing,
in and out of.
Nothing's been flexed.
Yeah. I mean, you could kind of guess, see this one coming. Because the Sunday night game originally was Cincinnati at Miami. So,
right.
You know, a freshly eliminated Bengals taking on a freshly eliminated Dolphins.
And the best part, too.
I guess they saw that one coming a couple weeks ago.
Week 18 right now, every time is TBD. Like, nothing's been said.
Well, they do that because you never, the reason why it's all TBD will always be TBD. Not because of the flex game, but they need to make sure that there's no scoreboard watching and pulling of players. So there's a bunch of games that will always be handled at the same time.
Right.
They will always like, hey, the 1 o'clock games are going to, we're going to wrap up these divisions and storylines and playoff scenarios that one or two we can't control will affect the late window games. Cause they don't want teams just pulling players because our season's over. Or we have nothing to play for with seeding anymore, so that's going to affect a possible playoff appearance for another team that's being playing them. They will always come up with the Week 18 schedule right after Week 17 is over. So once that happens, once the final Monday night game of the season goes down, it will be all over. Once Rams at Falcons is finished, we'll find out what the rest of the schedule is going to be. But at any rate, you take a look at some Week 18 games that could be the last game of the season because winner is in. They want a de facto playoff game. They want winner in, loser goes home. Ravens at Steelers could be that.
Could be.
Because I don't think the second place team in the AFC North is going to get a wild card. So that could be it. And I'm sure the league and NBC wouldn't mind a Ravens-Steelers game. Potentially Rodgers is last as a Steeler. Maybe. If they lose it.
Yeah.
Another one is Carolina and Tampa. Winner in, loser goes home, because I don't think the second place team in the NFC South is going to be a division, a wild card participant.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Chargers-Denver. Could be for the conference and division, if not the conference. Every time I say that, I always think of the Step Brothers line about you just ruined the dinner and possibly the evening. The Adam Scott line. You know, could ruin the division and possibly the conference. I don't know why that sticks in my head that way. Indianapolis at Houston once upon a time could have been that. Yeah. I don't think that's going to be it. You've got... what else you've got here? No, that's about it. Green Bay and Minnesota won't be it. Won't be Buffalo and the Jets. I think back in the day, they thought maybe Philadelphia and Washington would be it. And then there's Seattle at San Francisco. That's a possible right there. Could be for the division and possibly the conference. Those are your choices. Right now, as we sit here on the outset of the bulk of Week 16 activity.
Love it. Love it.
Which one would you want?
Oh.
The AFC North, winner in, loser home. NFC South, winner in, loser home. Denver and the Chargers, for the division and possibly the conference.
I think if it, the one seed is on the line in the NFC, I want Seattle at San Francisco.
Oh, here's one more I have. By the way, Seattle at San Francisco is not a bad one. Yeah. Wait, I missed Detroit at Chicago.
That could be a win and end situation for Detroit, right?
So here's the scenario. Chicago, as we know, has got Green Bay this weekend. If Chicago loses that game, again, I know I'm not welcome in Chicago right now. No. I can hear the cursing from the Wiener Circle all the way to the lake. that if
that's a real sentence.
By the way, I think also geographically sound.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That the Bears lose to Green Bay, that would mean, and Detroit beats Pittsburgh. Bears is okay.
Yep.
Okay. Now they're just a game apart.
Right.
And then the Bears, then it wouldn't matter. If the Bears lose one of the next two and Detroit beats Pittsburgh, and then on Christmas on Netflix, they win at Minnesota. They just need to be one game separate. Then week 18 would be for a wild card spot or home. Detroit at Chicago for winner and loser goes home. I think we have a winner, right? You want a winner in, loser goes home, as opposed to, hey, somebody could be the one seed or the five seed. That was exciting last year between Detroit and Minnesota.
It was. But I don't think last year there were any win in, lose out.
I don't think so.
I don't recall.
I don't remember.
You know, it was the Minnesota game. But.
TJ, which one would you rather have? Dallas at the Giants.
I was going to say that until yesterday, then, but no. Oh, man. I like the idea of one person goes in.
Loser goes home.
The person's got to call up U-Haul and go, okay, we need 53 trucks.
Yeah. Cancun, come on.
Season is over.
Or how about this?
Yeah.
The window is closed for the person who loses.
What do you mean?
That's just something I'm trying to work in, the window being closed.
Oh, you mean like their Super Bowl era is over?
Well, for the year?
I don't know. Oh, for the year. Obviously. But forget coming up with a cutesy turn of the phrase. Which one would you want to see? Here are your choices again.
Yeah.
Baltimore at Pittsburgh, winner in, loser home.
Yeah.
Tampa, Carolina, winner in, loser home. The Broncos and Chargers, winner conference, loser wild card. San Francisco at Seattle, winner conference, loser wild card. Or Detroit, Chicago, winner and loser home.
I just, you know, being from Pittsburgh, I love that rivalry.
Okay.
It gets nasty.
They're just going to beat
the crap out of each other.
Oh, man.
And they pray for each other's downfall. And so
that's a good one.
I like Steelers. Ravens.
I'm going to go Detroit, Chicago.
And another rivalry that, like, they don't like each other.
Yeah, Ben Johnson and the Lions.
Yeah, he,
down to the last drop.
Yeah.
Down to the last drop. I kind of like that one. But you, TJ, make a great point. Nasty rivalry.
Nasty.
Division win, loser out. Mm-hmm. Is more than wild card win, and you got a ticket, loser out.
That's true.
Like, you got a home game.
Plus the possibility of it being Rodgers' last game.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they run it. So let me ask, if what I said in what's more likely, or I'm sorry, high register yesterday, what's more likely?
Yes.
Yours. I said the Steelers are just going to go on the run and run the table. If Rodgers and the Steelers do happen to win the Super Bowl,
yes,
is he, that's it, sayonara? Or would he,
if the Steelers win the Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers,
it's a wrap.
It's a wrap. He is literally, next thing you see him is wearing a wrap, staring at the sunset in Malibu, man.
Wearing a wrap.
Well, I mean, didn't know that photograph. And you have like,
I think it was a robe.
I mean, was it a robe?
I mean,
it looked like an Afghan.
Like, hold on.
We'll probably have to wear a robe and go
right
down.
Right now, Hoskins is furiously searching for that. Because we had that photo on.
We weren't sure what he was going
to
do.
We had that on replay.
Yep.
We had that ready to roll.
It kind of does look like a wrap.
Well, I think, first of all, he'd go to the banks of the Monongahela.
What is that? Like, that's
like
him.
A blanket, I think.
Steelers win,
like
this
a
is
giant blanket.
Steelers win, this is Rodgers.
Rap situation.
Yeah, yeah.
That's going to be him at the Point State Park.
Also, he's going the wired headphones.
By the way, I love the look at the Daily Mail caption. Solemn Aaron Rodgers caught strolling along a beach. Rogers,
yeah. He was pondering his future. I get it.
We tried that with different music. It made it seem very different.
I remember that. All right, week 18 around the corner. Melinda in Philadelphia. Let's sneak in a call before we take a break here on a Friday. What's up, Melinda?
Hey, Rich, how are you?
What's going on?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. First of all, I just want to say I love your show. I listen to you every day. And as a fierce Eagle fan for the last 50 years, I am so happy with your optimism and talking me off the cliff about 2 weeks ago. So thank you.
You're welcome.
But the reason why I'm calling in, I've been trying to get you for 2 days, is to tell you how much we appreciate and love Jalen Hurts.
Outstanding.
The way his calmness is, we have enough that we freak out of over in Philadelphia.
Yes.
To see our quarterback hold that poise, control the media.
Yeah.
And I was really kind of taken back when Chris said or insinuated like that Jalen Hurts doesn't care. To me, he cares more than anybody on the field. He doesn't see how Jalen Hurts hypes up the team, how he sits up there. Like when Brandon Graham got them 2 sacks, he was the first one over there screaming. You know what I mean? So I just want to make sure that everybody understands they can't speak for us. I'm speaking for us. We love Jalen just the way he is. And I just want to say to Chris, in the words of another famous Philadelphian that said to another Chris, but I'll say it in a nice way, just please keep my quarterback name out your mouth.
Ladies and gentlemen, Melinda in Philadelphia.
That's it.
Do not lose our phone number. Right back at you. Thank you. There goes Melinda.
That's why I said the other day, Eagles fans need to call and weigh in on this. How can we answer this question?
That was fantastic. Yeah. I'm glad we got to Melinda before our break.
I like keep Jalen Hurts' name out your mouth.
Was I about to get slapped?
No. Very close. Well, by the way, guys, here's one thing about Philly I know. I've never met someone from Philly who can't fight. So
right, that's a good point.
Just keep that in mind. Yeah. They all can squabble.
I don't know. I think Big Dom's more of a lover.
I mean, probably. But he puts the paws on you. It's a wrap.
I got Jay. Jay didn't see that one coming. I got him.
Nope.
All right, let's take a break. We'll wrap up this Friday show in a moment right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's go to break before the visual actually sinks in.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Hyundai Hope on Wheels is a great program that I love talking about. I care deeply about pediatric cancer research and awareness. I'm sure you do as well. You might not be aware that for over 27 years, however, every Hyundai sold has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research. Together with over 850 dealers nationwide, they've raised more than $277 million supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. At Hyundai, hope is not optional. It comes standard. Luke in Virginia wants to chime in here. What's up, Luke?
I am your father.
Nice. Luke?
Hey, what's going on, Rich?
What's up?
I went to Michigan, just graduated in May.
Hey.
And I haven't heard much about the coach recently, and I'm wondering, are we waiting for the Alabama game tonight? Are we going to have a coach on Monday?
Great question. Don't know.
Maybe
don't know.
Coach tomorrow.
Maybe that guy you just had on. You think he'd come back to Ann Arbor?
Definitely not. Definitely not. Why would anybody go from the pros to college football right now? They'd be out of their minds. And Mike McDonald has one of the 32. And, Jesse Minter probably wants one of the 32, and he's on track to do that. Why would he leave to go to college right now? Certainly, all I want is the law firm that's looking into everything to move fast. Although we have no idea what the coaching search is going on behind the scenes. I've heard nothing. It has been nothing but radio silence. And I'm assuming that is not because they're doing nothing. Let's just put it that way, Luke. I don't know. But if you want Kalen DeBoer, I would do what we didn't do in week two, which is root heavily for Oklahoma. You know? Thanks for the call. Luke in Virginia right here on the Rich Eisen Show. I have no idea. But Kalen why... I don't know. So Kalen DeBoer isn't welcome in what's the narrative here? He's not welcome in Alabama anymore. He's not Alabama material. Is that what it is?
Waters roll too deep.
But what does that mean? Waters roll deep in Michigan too, man.
It just means more.
What is that? That's, stop it. You know that. You're doing that to trigger me.
And it worked.
The SEC just means more. Oh, I didn't know that. When it just means more, you win a game, it counts for what, 1.2 wins? Is that what it means more? Because again, you root for Georgia because, you know,
I do root for Georgia.
The mother of your child would kick you out of the house otherwise.
Georgia means a happy house.
I understand that. So does it mean more? Like when Georgia wins, if Georgia wins its quarterfinal game, does that mean they go straight to the finals because it means more? If Texas A&M beats Miami, do they go straight to the semifinals because it means more? How about tonight's win? Does it mean less for the loser?
They're out.
Nonsense.
Yeah, they're out. They're out.
Who wins tonight? What do you think? What do you got? I like Oklahoma.
I kind of like Oklahoma too. I like Mateer. I like that dude. He's a good player.
Absolutely. I like Oklahoma. And if I'm Kalen DeBoer, I look across the way and I go, do I really want to be here anymore?
You really like Oklahoma.
I have been told Kalen DeBoer would be great for Michigan. And by the way, that's not because I'm reading it somewhere. Literal, real deal, knows coaching type of people, knows how good Kalen DeBoer is. You know, because again, it's tough for some Michigan fans to wrap their arms around. So we're going to take the guy we beat for the national championship and then went to Alabama and wasn't good enough material for them. We'll take that guy. I've been told you want him. Over and over again. Okay. So I'll be rooting for Oklahoma tonight, which is great because Zach Rosenfield, publicist to the Stars, is a diehard Sooner.
Diehard Sooner.
I was literally right before that about to say I'm afraid to pick against him because Zach will try to choke me out.
Well, he's in charge of my image, and he's the one that posts video of him flipping the bird at Texas football.
He hates Texas,
which is not a good look for people who is in charge of people's images. Zach, leave around
example. With you. He does not.
It's like a great
Texas.
Example or a bad example. You like it?
Jay well, it likes shows it. Loyalty. You got to look at it that way.
I'm going to text Zach right now. You guys winning tonight?
Okay. It would also make for a much happier Gerald McCoy on Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah.
On NFL morning.
That's true.
Remember Gerald McCoy was zooming in one day and I mentioned Texas?
Oh, no.
He came in and he got
so
mad just
unhappy.
For me saying
oh,
it.
Oh, I know.
So unhappy.
Let's go to Rick in Seattle to finish up since this show is all about Seattle. What's going on, Rick?
Hey, I just wanted to mention that last night you watched, I was at the game in Seattle.
Right.
And you watched him kick the kickoff out of the end zone every time so as to avoid the return. And, you know, you're giving up like 15 yards, 10 or 15 yards right there every time. But yet in the fourth quarter, you punt it right to him.
Oh, you're talking about the Rams to Rashid Shaheed.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So special teams meeting, you know, where was the punter, right? Not listening or maybe I'm missing something, but, you know, it turned out to be the pivotal point in the game. And, you know, he should have punted it out of bounds.
Are you a Rams fan in Seattle, Rick?
No, I'm totally a Seattle fan.
Oh, you just don't like bad special teams plays. Is that what you're saying, Rick?
Well, yeah, I'm a high school coach type guy.
Okay, well, all right, Rick. I wanted to have to just walk
coach
through the
Rick.
Front door,
yeah,
Rick.
You gotta
just
let us know.
Tell us who you are.
It's Coach Rick.
I mean, okay. I figure if the special teams is committed to kicking it out of bounds, they should kick it out of bounds every time.
There you go. All right, there you go. Rick in Seattle chiming in. He's kind of like the Peyton Manning of watching special teams.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't stand watching bad special teams, says Rick in Seattle.
Offended by bad quarterback play, well, man. It's just, it's visible.
You got to love it.
Bar is high. Soul.
You got to love that, right? Any upsets this weekend? We're coming in Monday talking about, man, that college football playoff committee nailed it. What's more likely?
No upsets. Okay. Zach did chime in. Quote, very confident.
He's very confident.
Tonight.
Okay.
Not confident.
He's having a minor procedure, which causes, by the way, it's called a minor procedure when it's somebody else.
Yeah.
Which has prevented him from traveling to the game. So,
dang it.
He will be convalescing in front of his television this evening.
If they win, they play Indiana at the Rose Bowl.
Oh, boy.
He ain't missing that.
So,
I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it didn't go well for Oklahoma last time in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the Georgia fan over there.
Yeah, triple overtime.
What a game that was. Insane.
One of the best games I've ever been to.
Right?
I think you would attest to that.
I definitely, but Sony Michelle was there.
Incredible. And Nick Chubb, Baker Nick Mayfield.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
It was unbelievable.
It was great. All right. I'm rooting for you, Zach, tonight, because if it makes the coach of Alabama wonder, should I still be here anymore?
What am I doing here?
Rich, I'm just saying, there is a coach out there who sits on a college football show. He's got a bunch of national championships.
This guy over there. End of story.
He's free.
We're wrapping up this program. Okay. Great point.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to The Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.